Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Today's Palm Sunday, and we're going to be looking to the pages of Scripture. Many of you might be wondering, Pastor Keith, is that a mustache? It is, okay? Don't judge me. Thank you. Thank you, Rich. I am going through a third life crisis right now, okay? My birthday is on Wednesday, and I turn 35, yeah. And so this is here to stay for today. We'll see what happens tomorrow. You might also be wondering, how does Amy feel about it? She don't care. So all your questions have been answered now. Let's get to God's word, okay? Somebody after the first service, they look so relaxed. I'm like, yeah, this is like retirement clothing. That's what's going on here. Like, I look like I'm in Florida with a mustache and a retirement. So here we are. Palm Sunday. So today, and you know, it's interesting, we say today, but the world's broken down by time zones. At some point, Christians will gather for services to worship the King. And on this day, we reflect on what's called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. And if you want to know what is this day about, well, it starts what we call Holy Week or Passion Week. It's the day that triggers the events that will unfold leading into Jesus on the cross. That's why this Friday, you want to be here at 7. And I'll tell you what I told the 9:30. Come here a little early because seating is limited. Space is limited. We're aware of your children, first grade and up, that will be here. Parents, we have that in our mind. They are going to connect with Jesus and connect with the service. So may your families be here. And then leading into Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But today, Palm Sunday, is really about Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. It's why we sang songs this morning that stir our hearts to believe that. All hail King Jesus. We praise you. Palm Sunday at its core is just simply Jesus is the King. And we will look at the first Palm Sunday. It wasn't called Palm Sunday then, but the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and what happened. It's a day of worship. Everybody say worship. Now, when we say that word, oftentimes what wells up as a definition or as a thought is what we just did, singing. Like worship, and you may worship with your hands up, your hands down, you sing out, you think the lyrics, but there's worship often in our minds is equated to music. And I want to let you know that is a very soft definition of worship. Because when you look up worship, it doesn't say anything about singing. Here's worship. It's the feeling or expression of reverence, adoration, devotion, and honor. It's the feeling or the expression of reverence. I adore someone or something. I'm devoted to this. I honor this. So worship is way bigger than singing. Now, God commands singing. He enjoys singing. But true worship at its base is simply ascribing worth. Just that thing, that person, that has my attention. It has my affection. I worship it. So here's where I want to start. This room is filled with worshipers. In fact, this world is filled with worshipers because everyone is a worshiper. You don't have to be taught how to worship. You don't have to be taught to worship. We all throw our reverence, adoration, devotion, and honor somewhere. We just do. And what I want to do today is I want to show you, by looking back to the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem, four groups of worshipers and four acts of worship. Because you are already a worshiper. Everyone say, I'm a worshiper. Now say it like you believe it, not like I told you. Say it again. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. The question is, what are who you worshiping? Where does your devotion flow? So we will look to the pages of Scripture and find four types of worshipers, four acts of worship. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four writings of the New Testament, The Bible has two main parts, and the New Testament tells us explicitly about the birth, life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and how we are to live. That's the New Testament. The first four writings all talk about this day. That is significant because I want you to start with knowing this day took place. This actually happened. This is real. Four eyewitness accounts, or those that told eyewitnesses, this happened. So we're gonna read from Luke and we're gonna kind of bounce around a little bit. Luke 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Pause for a moment, because where Jesus is going is significant. For years now, Jesus and his disciples have been going throughout the region and they have yet to go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is key. Jerusalem is the center. This is a time where Rome is the ruling empire. The Jewish people are under Rome and Jerusalem matters. So I don't want us to miss the anticipation. We just read, oh yeah, he was going up to Jerusalem. Like, I'm going to Patchogue. No, no. And I love Patchogue, by the way. I eat my way through Main Street in Patchogue all the time. If you wanna know where I am on Friday, it's toast in Patchogue. I love it, okay? For Jesus, going to Jerusalem is significant. So understand the anticipation of the people, of his disciples. Whoa, we're doing it? We're finally going to Jerusalem? This is a big moment. So we read, as he approached Bethpage and Bethany, shout out to Bethpage now, since we shout out Patchogue, why not? At the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Which two? We don't know. But he chose two. Why? He's gonna tell us. Just got a disciples, two of you, I need you to go. And here's what I need you to do. He said to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jesus, that's stealing. What do you mean? Just go and find a colt, that's a baby donkey, and untie it and bring it here. How many of you have been maybe following Jesus for long enough, or maybe you just started following Jesus, or maybe today you'd say you're not following him and I'm praying you will start today, but you know enough about Jesus to know sometimes Jesus says weird, hard things. Yeah. And if you don't believe that, this morning in my time of prayer and reading, I was reading Luke chapter 6 and Jesus says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, give them the other. And I said, Jesus, I don't even want him touching one cheek. And you want me to give him two cheeks? I don't think so. If someone takes your shirt, give them your coat. Bless those who hurt you. Pray for those who persecute you. Trust me with your money. Trust me with your relationships. Live out my plans. And we hear the commands of Jesus and say, that doesn't make sense. And oftentimes the life of a disciple, that's our first group of people, write it down, disciples. The things Jesus calls us to do will not make sense. But here's who a disciple is. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus enough to trust what he says. That's the heart of discipleship. I know enough about him. Do I know it all? Nope. Do I understand it all? No. But I know him enough to trust what he says. These disciples are told, go untie the baby donkey and bring him here. Not much more detail. The only thing he says, he adds one other detail. Next verse. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, just say this. Let's all say it together because it's so profound. The Lord needs it. To which I say, how will that hold up in court? So why did you guys steal the donkey? Oh, easy. The Lord needs it. Great. That'll work. You know who that works for? Disciples. It works for those who know the Master. It's why when I'm challenged by reading his word to do something that challenges Keith, like the flesh, the selfishness, the Lord needs it is all I need to hear. It just works for disciples. If this doesn't make sense to you today, I would suggest you're not in the category, so we're going to talk about four, of disciple. It only makes sense to those who know him. Now, here's the beauty. It's not exclusive because everyone's invited to know him. Everyone's invited. You are invited to know him. And when you get to know Jesus, things like the Lord needs it becomes a mantra, becomes your life, becomes what you believe and know and you operate from. So these disciples, they go off. And here's what we read. Those who were sent ahead, they went and they found it just as he had told them. They get to that village and there's the baby donkey and there it is tied up. And remember, there's something unique. It's never been ridden. We're gonna talk about that. And they get there. But here's the first group, disciples, and their first act of worship is this. Write this down, obedience. Obedience is an act of worship. Do you know what obedience means? What you want matters more than what I want. That's obedience at its heart. How many know of some children, not yours, others, that seem to believe what they want matters more than what you want as a parent? Okay, and so we talk about obedience and honor and love and mutual submission and all of that. At the heart of obedience is simply what matters to you matters more than what matters to me. And if you're calling me to it, and if you're my Lord, and the Lord needs it, I'm in. In fact, when Jesus described the disciple, like what that picture of a disciple is, here's what he writes. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must, say the rest with me, deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. He uses crucifixion as the picture of discipleship. And I'm like, Jesus, couldn't you use an ice cream buffet as the picture? With all the toppings, and life is so good, and once you come to know him, it's like he's the cherry on top, and the sprinkles come raining down, and the blessings of hot fudge. And he says, no, crucifixion. Why? Because at its heart, to follow Jesus is a denial of self-will and an embracing of God's will. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Doesn't that push against culture's treat yourself mantras? Deny it. No, just do whatever you want. Sleep with whoever you want. Buy whatever you want. Go wherever you want. Eat whatever you want. And Jesus says, no. Deny yourself. Someone's got it in the back. They said, that's good. I heard it. That's good. Come on. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Be ready to die. And embrace my way, follow me. You know why? Because the path to an abundant life is through self-denial. It's embracing the way of Jesus. And it's a journey. And you're on the journey. You're here this morning. Disciples, obey. So let's look at the next group. As they were untying the colt, I love this. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? How many here believe that's an appropriate question? How many might ask that question with a few more words? Okay, that's between you and the Lord. Imagine you're waking up this morning, you're getting ready for Palm Sunday, I'm going to church, got my church clothes, and I look outside, and there's two strangers opening my car doors. And I run out, and it's a new car. Because remember, this is an unridden donkey. This still has the new donkey smell, okay? It's a new car. What are you doing with my car? Oh, don't worry. Next verse. They replied, the Lord needs it. and you need a lawyer because that's my car. That's my donkey. What's going on here? All they respond with is these four words. The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. And do you know how the donkey owner responds? He gives it. Now, I have thoughts here. Okay? These are my thoughts. I think that the only way the donkey owner turns over his unridden donkey to these disciples at the phrase, the Lord needs it, is he had some awareness of who it was they were talking about. It's just a thought. They're disciples. So disciples follow a rabbi, a teacher, but they don't say my teacher needs it or a rabbi needs it. They're specific to say what Jesus said to say, the Lord needs it. And the word Lord means supreme authority. So something was at work in the donkey owners to say, if the Lord needs it, then the Lord gets it. And our second act of worship is generosity. It's just generosity. You are a generous church. You don't believe me? You didn't say amen? That's okay. Okay, some of you. Let me tell you how generous you are. Yesterday, we served our community, okay? Spring into Easter. Now, me and the one who makes rain and sunshine had a discussion yesterday. Because we haven't done a community outreach event for years. We said, it's time, outside these walls. We're gonna do it, we're gonna serve our community, and God's gonna bless it. We're gonna step out in faith. And I looked at the weather. Did you guys see the weather yesterday? I looked at the weather app like 10 days ago, and I saw sun, 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 rain, sun, 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 sun. Are you serious? You have one job. To serve me and to make the sun come, okay? So we had words. And I'll tell you, I woke up yesterday morning and I said, God, whatever your desired outcome is for this day, your will be done. Because we had over 40 Dream Team members ready to serve their community. You already gave so many dollars to make this happen. And 2 hours before, we're getting food trucks, not coming, not coming. All our food trucks pull out. So we say, okay, people were coming expecting to have food. They were gonna pay for the food. But what if, because our church is generous, we just decide to buy pizza and give away pizza to every person that comes? We don't even know if people will come, because after all, it's a downpour, and we advertise bounce houses and food trucks and an egg hunt, and what do you do with that? But let's just see. Let's just be generous. And can I tell you, we had 300 people show up yesterday, and we took our 900 square foot building space and turned it into an Easter extravaganza, and we ran out of 1,200 eggs, and we gave out over 250 slices of pizza for free that you paid for because you're generous, and people left being invited to come here today and to come back to Easter services because you chose generosity. Amen. Because you chose it. Thank you for being like the donkey owner. Here's what happens when we choose generosity. When we live generously, we get to play a small part in a bigger story. Can I buy 34 pizzas on my own? Nope. Can I serve 300 guests on my own? No. Can I put together 1,200 eggs and raffle baskets and invite cards and smiles? Nope. But I chose to be generous and play a small part in the big story. And every one of you, you did. Through your giving, through your serving, through your praying, through being Blaze Church in this community, you made that possible. Let's give God a hand clap of praise, because we're only generous because he is. And for whatever reason, the donkey owner knew, it's not my donkey anyway. The Lord needs it, sure. We've had a family value in our home for years, since our kids were born. We've always said, God gives us things to share. God gives us things to share. We've been driving this home. God gives us things to share. And we've had a family verse that goes with it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Your schoolwork, the way you treat each other. Whatever you do it all for God's glory. What if you and I embrace that and realize our generosity is an act of worship? So give, serve, forgive others, love freely, invest your time, your finances, all of it. It's an act of worship. The moral of the story? Be a donkey owner, don't be a donkey. Okay, good. Some of you will get that in a couple minutes. You'll be fine. Let's keep going. Verse 35. They brought it to Jesus. They bring the donkey to him. They threw their cloaks on the colt and they put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. So there's something symbolic that's happening here. They're taking off their cloaks and they're spreading it. They're making a saddle for him to ride on, but they're also laying their cloaks on the road. And then Matthew tells us a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. So why today when you came in was there a table of palms in the shape of crosses? Because the trees in that region were palm trees. So they took the palms off of them, but it was symbolic of Jewish nationalism and victory. So the cloaks are symbolic of submission. You take off your coat in the presence of someone greater. They're recognizing him as king. And they're cutting down these branches almost politically to say, you're riding into Jerusalem, you're the king, you must be here to set up a throne. And they're not completely misguided because the prophets have spoken of one who will come riding on a donkey as the king. In fact, let me just read you one, Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Here he comes. Well, how is he going to come? On a horse like normal? No. Righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So these Jewish crowds, the next group, we've got the disciples, we've got the donkey owners, now the crowds, they see him riding on the donkey into Jerusalem and they're reminded of the prophecies, he must be the king. They're not wrong, but their idea of what his kingship will be is wrong. So they go for the palm branches to signify Israel over Rome. They make it political. Now, the good part is today, as Christians, as evangelicals, we never make our religion political. Why are they laughing? We never confuse evangelicalism with the political movement. Not much has changed. They missed the true king because they thought he was riding in to serve them, to meet their agenda, to secure their rights, to overthrow Rome, to set up Israel. So they just get the palm branches. This must be why he's here. He's the king, right? That's what a king does. And so they praise him. Because that's their thought. Look, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And at this point, the crowds worship through this third way praise. They praise him. And this isn't wrong. They're saying, Hosanna, you're the king. We're so glad you're here. You get my coat. You get my submission. You get my worship. But the problem with the crowd's worship is it's fickle. It's not consistent. They praise Hosanna on Sunday only to shout crucify him on Friday. Same group, same city. What happened? Oh, well, we thought you were coming here to do what we wanted. But if you keep reading, and you should, we're going to start a Passion Week plan this week on our reading plan together. You'll see he goes into the temple and flips the tables. He pushes against their whole system, and they don't like it at all. So they say, just kill him. He's not the guy we expected. He's not the guy we want. So here's the issue with praise from the crowds. The crowds praise Jesus on good days, but they curse him on bad days. Crowd worship is, man, I'm loving it. Life is good. God, you're everything. You've got my whole heart. And it's totally contingent on circumstances. And when the circumstances change, our praise changes. And we go from blessing him to cursing him, to complaining. And I just for me, and I pray for you, I want my praise to be more consistent than that. I want to declare like Job did when he lost everything. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Doesn't mean, hear me, don't let the enemy twist this. Doesn't mean you can't take your real raw feelings to the Lord in prayer. Doesn't mean you can't express grief and sorrow and anger and pain. And in your expression, because what's worship? You're still expressing, I'm devoted to you. Yeah. Yeah. I may not get it. I may not like it. I may not agree with it. But I'm still devoted to you. Yeah. And I'm going to praise you. And also, we got to talk. Because you made it rain. We got to talk. Here's what the psalmist writes. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Oh, I want you to have that heart today. I want you to know the one who loves you so much that he did ride into Jerusalem not to get on a throne, but to get on a cross to secure your freedom. There's one more group of people. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, that's the religious. It's the ones who are really good at keeping all the rules. Some of them in the crowd, they said to Jesus, notice the word they use, teacher. Not Lord, teacher. Hey, you're a rabbi, like we are. You're righteous, like we are. You're holy, like we are. Hey, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Because they recognized from knowing the prophets what the disciples, the crowds, what everyone's cheering, Hosanna, they're quoting prophecies and applying them to Jesus. And they don't like that. Now, the Pharisees are worshipers like you are, like the disciples are, like the donkey owners are. But do you know what the Pharisees' version of worship is? Pride. They worship themselves. They look at themselves. They look and they say, look at how good we are. Look at our rule keeping. And they've got, Jesus said one time, why are you so good at picking specks of sawdust out of other people's eyes when you've got a 2x4 coming out of yours? That's the Pharisees. So good at saying they shouldn't be doing that. No grace. Just accusatory. And the whole time, they're only worshiping themselves. Oh, it is so easy for you and I, especially in this culture, to be more obsessed with ourselves and how we look to others than to worship the King. Doesn't help any that our life is on display through social media, through constant communication. It's so easy for us to become filled with pride. Jesus said this about the Pharisees. He says, so practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. And I read that and I say, God, may that never be what you say about me. Could you imagine? Hey, Keith, create it what he says. Just don't follow what he does because he's not living it out. I don't want that to be said about you. You don't want that to be said about you. But it's so easy to be filled with pride and to make it all about us. So Jesus replies to them. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. He says, even if they stop, the rocks are going to cry out because all creation is made to cry out. And I don't know about you. I don't know about me. Ain't no rock. Where my 90s people at? Come on, I'm going to cry in my place. If you don't know that song, you're better for it. It's a worship song from the 90s. We did hand motions back then whenever we did worship songs, okay? So that's where we've come from. I don't want a rock crying out. I don't want that to be my replacement. A rock? Because I didn't worship the King? There's praise that day. There's obedience. There's generosity. There's some pride. There's cheers. There's celebrations. There's a UFO. What's going on out there? I think they're starting the boats or something. Church on the water, baby. You never know what you're going to get. Here he comes. It's a trumpet. Is that the last trumpet? You guys ready? All right. With all the joy, with all the laughter, with all the celebration that day, there was one who wept. You got to see this. Like, why would you weep? They're all cheering you on. But look, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Why would you weep? Everyone's praising you. They're giving you their worship. They love you. Why are you weeping right now? And he tells us, he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. If I could just be the one that urges you this morning, today, that Jesus came not to sit on a throne, but to get on a cross for you, because the peace you need is between you and a holy God. And the crowds missed it. They wouldn't see it. It was hidden from them, because for so long Jesus ministered and the kingdom was there, and he healed people and he taught and he loved and he forgave and he hung out with everybody. And they get to this moment and he weeps because he knows you're going to miss it. Because you don't realize why I came. I came to give you peace. And the peace I'm talking about is between you and the Creator. And if we're not careful, and if you're not careful, you'll miss it. You'll think that Jesus came to just do whatever you want and to validate your lifestyle and to tell you it's okay, we're friends, and I'll be your political Jesus, and I'll be your friend Jesus, and I won't demand much of you, and we'll just hang out and it'll be awesome. And he says, I never said that. I said to deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow me. And I'm gonna lead the way by taking up my cross. And his heart breaks over the city. And my heart breaks for you this morning if you miss it. If you go through this Holy Week and head into Easter believing a lie, that somehow Jesus just came and it's all good. He calls you to discipleship. He calls you to surrender. And on the other side of discipleship and surrender is life. Abundant life. Because Jesus didn't just go to the cross. He went to the grave, and he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. And if he sent the darkness running, then he'll do the same in your life. I believe that. Here's my prayer for you. The words of Paul. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. I've been praying for you this week that you would see clearly, not with these eyes, but with the eyes of your heart, and see that there is a God who has the best plan for your life, and that you would know the hope that is only found in Jesus. You need to know that hope. There is nothing else that matters than knowing the hope that is found in Jesus. It is from knowing that hope, discipleship, that trust begins, that the Lord needs it, becomes who we are. So do you know the hope? Do you know him today? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you said, Jesus, I may not fully get it, I may not fully agree with it, but I know enough to know I'm giving you my life and I'm starting this journey. I want to ask you to stand right now, because I want to read this last verse together. It's a declaration verse. If this was the last message I preached, this would be it. Urging you to put your hope in Jesus. Urging you and saying, know the hope. Live the life that Jesus came to give you. Is it hard? There's nothing harder. Is it worth it? There's nothing worth more. deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Surrender. Surrender. Romans 12:1, let's read this together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I urge you, offer your whole self to the King, to the one who came and died and rose again for you, because he loves you and he's got the best plan. You're already a worshiper. Are you here? The Pharisees that worship themselves. Are you here? The crowds that praise on the good days but curse on the bad. Are you here? The donkey owner that says, if the Lord needs it, it's his and I'm generous. Are you here? A disciple that says, whatever you call me to, you have my whole heart. I obey, I'm generous, and I praise you. That's my challenge to you this week. You are a worshiper. Throw your devotion to the one who threw himself down here for you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. I pray that even now there are feelings in us that prompt us to confess, to surrender. And I pray that we would be people who repent, turn from our ways, our selfishness, and turn towards you and are met with grace and mercy and love and forgiveness, because that's who you are. I pray against the enemy that has people trapped, living for themselves and missing out on the abundant life that is found in your son, Jesus. Father, you gave up everything. You are the most generous one we know to give your son up for us. May we respond today in worship, in adoration, in obedience, in generosity, and in praise. We are your disciples. Send us out, and we go saying, the Lord needs it. In your name, amen. As we continue a moment of prayer, maybe today you're here because of yesterday. We're so glad you came. You're here because someone invited you. You're here, you've been coming for a few weeks or months, but you've never yet called on the name of the Lord. You're in that category of being in the crowd, but you're not choosing yet to follow him. Choose today. Why would you leave here not surrendered to the King? He loves you, and it will be hard. And he'll call you to lay down things. But you know what? It's a journey. And every journey has a starting place. And I believe that for many in this room, right now, this moment, on this day, is your starting point. So we are going to pray as a church. And if you have never made a confession of faith, right now, today is your day to do so. To join in this prayer. Why do we pray? Because scripture tells us to declare with your mouth. So we're going to declare. But the power is in Jesus, not in the prayer. It's in him. You may not know what to say, so we're gonna say that with you. But if you are surrendering your heart, believing in your heart God raised him from the dead, you are saved. And before you leave, I love that at 9:30 we saw people leaving with Bibles and Next Steps books. They gave their hearts to Jesus. Today, give him your heart. Receive these resources. Fill out the blue card. I wanna follow Jesus. Start the journey. Because he came and rode in that day so that you might have life. Let's bow our heads one more time as we pray. And you want to know Jesus today, I want you to shoot your hand up right now. It's a sign of surrender. You're saying, Jesus, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to be saved. I'm going to give you my life. Come on, with your hand raised, we're going to pray as a church. Say this with us. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today I surrender mine. Thank you for saving me. Today I start the journey of discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Blaze Church, celebrate like you've never celebrated before, because people are giving their lives to Jesus.